Well, I guess last Sunday we left off with David. Things have just gone bad, worse. And it seems that it happens. Favoritism has taken place, and people are showing their allegiance to one another or different sects and different tribes. But kind of a topic that I picked up on is, and it fits today. Do you see where when something happens, whether it's good or whether it's bad, all of a sudden a lot of people want to get on board? And I'm the expert. I know it all. Is that good or is it bad?
Really know about it, then that's a good
Good
thing.
thing.
You might have some pertinent information that is helpful. And if you understand actually what you do know about it, then that can be dangerous.
But this was a writer in the Southern Baptist. He said, "Civil war is seldom civil." He says political pundits utilize public and social media for their own agendas, and they drive the masses closer and closer to the brink of cultural and ethnic civil war. It's going on in David's time. It's going on today. Is it good or bad?
Nowadays, instead of pulling us together, it seems to be tearing everybody apart. Dividing our nation.
It is.
And this question came up, and we all know the answer. Would you rather encounter a peacemaker or a troublemaker? I mean, if you think about it, even in here, even in this room, if we put a subject out, would we all have the same thoughts and ideas? We'd all have different ideas about something. And if we got into discussing it, could my idea go against your idea and ruffle somebody's feathers, so to speak?
Instead of having a sensible discussion about it, somebody's going to be stealing for it, getting ahead of it.
Because churches face the same things. You wouldn't think that it would happen inside of a church. But we've all experienced it. Because we all have different personalities. We may have different theological thoughts. We may interpret the scripture differently. And can we say that some dissatisfied members fail to rejoice in the goodness that's supposed to be there? A lot of negativity can come out. But today we see where a person arrives. His name is Sheba. And he comes in, and in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, he comes in and he blows the ram's horns and he tells them, "We have no portion in David. No inheritance in Jesse's son." He is trying, you could say, is like today, I know more than David does. Look at what David has caused. Look what David has let happen. Let's all join together. Let's leave David and move on. And it happened. Do, like we talked earlier, do we sometimes get aboard a certain bandwagon, so to speak, and ride it because we think it fits our agenda? And as we'll see, it a lot of times it doesn't. But Sheba forms his own group and marches north. He's going to take over the kingdom, let's say. And the question came out is, why did David let that happen? Why didn't he take command? Could it be that he is still mourning the loss of his son? They don't know. Could it be that physically David wasn't able to stand up and gather the troops and lead them on?
It was almost like he lost his confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at the roller coaster ride he's been on.
Besides the age and the roller coaster, David mentally, physically could have just been tired.
Because, I mean, it does tell us that David did, after Sheba had left and marched forward, that he did take his best to send after him. But the leader that was sent with that group, to me, it is in the reading, he didn't have the strength or the character to lead these men to do the battle. He was a little apprehensive too. And, I mean, it came out in the scripture. It says in verse 8, while they were at the great rock in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them, and there was Joab. He was wearing his military tunic. And Joab addressed him, how are you, my brother? And it says, Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. Amasa was not on his guard against the dagger in Joab's hand, and Joab plunged it into his belly. So Joab gets rid of Amasa. I mean, talk about being cruel.
Who
needs enemies?
Be careful, somebody grabs your guest to kiss you.
So Joab takes charge, and he leads the army, the men, towards Sheba. And this is where it kind of gets interesting is, you know, Sheba had already told the people in the northern tribes that, you know, David's not going to give you anything. He's not going to let you have a part of his inheritance. He's just going to put you aside. So, you know, join my forces. You know, I'm going to provide for you. So it's interesting. I mean, we're kind of, it's not making this short, but, you know, when Joab arrives, they go to the wall of the city and they start pounding on it, like to tear it down. Now, if you're a member of that city and you hear that going on, what do you do? What's your first reaction?
Fight back,
run and hide. I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. But we see that it says in verse 15 that they besieged Sheba. They built this ramp, and they were battering the wall. And it says a wise woman called out from the city, listen. Please tell Joab to come here and let me speak with him. We don't know who this lady was. We don't know her name. Did she put herself in a position of being unsafe? You know, I mean, what if Joab had looked at her and just said, you know, tell one of his men, get rid of her.
And then we talked before that, where the women stood in that day, why would somebody as great as him listen to a woman? You know, I mean, we talked, we had talked about that, and women were so discriminated
mm-hmm.
in some ways. Why, in his eyes, he was a great man. And why would a great man put himself before just a woman to hear what she had to say?
Or was this God speaking? And they listened. Because this came from another writer. It says, but look what happened when she chose to step forward in courage and speak boldness to keep peace in her community. Do we do that today? I'm not going to pick on Annette, but what if, you know, she hears gunshots a lot. Joey hears gunshots a lot. What if you stepped out in your front yard with a megaphone and started hollering, stop all this mess?
I came close to that again. instead of going in and retreating and being the first, I'm standing on the front porch in my dining room, you know, waiting on the police.
Which took them 20 minutes to get out like the deal, and I called them.
Get trouble for running my mouth, but anyway.
No. But if you're a member of the army and you see your leader stop and address this woman and start talking to her, what does that make you feel? I mean, you've instructed us to tear down this city. And now, because this lady comes out and wants to talk to you, you're going to stand there and talk to her, and here we stand?
There were people that weren't real happy because they were go-getters. They were ready mm-hmm. to go, and we went, yeah, this is my first experience. That's why this is my first experience, and here we go. And then
we had his regard for women anyway, so what in the world is he doing?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know.
But in verses 18 and 19, Joab, he's, you know, she addresses him, you know, and says, listen to what your servant has to say. And Joab, I'm listening. And she goes into saying, long ago they used to say, get your answer at Abel, and that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. He says, you are trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance? Do you think it put Joab on the spot? Because is Joab a follower of God? Is he a servant of the Lord? And now this lady's telling me, you know, you're destroying a part of what God has planted. Why would you want to do that? The same can come back to churches today. Why would anyone want to join a fellowship and then try to destroy it? You know? Are they not evil-minded, but biblically not sound in their doctrine? Or they think they have a purpose to expose or expel how they feel about things when sometimes it's not the right thing to do? So Joab listens. And it tells us, he says, far be it from me. Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. He's saying a man named Sheba from the hill country of Ephraim has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Joab tells her, hand over this man and I'll pull the troops back from your city. If in today's world, if you did that, what would happen to you? I don't like this person. So I go and I capture him and I bring him to you. Maybe I don't physically harm him. But in this case, the lady instructs the people and they get Sheba, cut his head off. And they bring him the head. So when they do that, they says in my scripture that they threw it to Joab, and it says he sounded the trumpet and his men dispersed from the city, each returning back to his home, and Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. Now, we go back to the thoughts of what if she had ran and hidden? Like, I'll admit, I probably would do the same thing. I'm not one to address conflict between two other people, let's say, unless I have a personal interest in it. She could have kept silent, and nobody would have known her thoughts. Is it wrong for us to remain silent when there is something happening that we feel strongly about?
In some ways, it depends on how you present it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen through the years in the government, I mean, as Christians, we have sat back and watched things happen for people that have made a movement about things, whereas we, like the abortion issue, it took the Christians a long time to get on board so much as to, I hate to say march for them, but to make a stance about it. You know, it was mm-hmm. just one of those things. You just, if you want to do it, you did it. And then all of a sudden now, that's a very strong issue in the churches today, that it's wrong. And we did stand, you know, we did make a statement about it. And that's what she did. She was making a statement about where she lived. That was her home. And those are her people and her friends in that home. And you don't let somebody destroy it. And that's exactly what they had planned on doing. Mm-hmm.
So if the thought questions come out, if there's a situation amongst friends, family, that you know there's something going on and you have a strong opinion about it, is it just as wrong not to say anything and not get involved as it is to be bold and step up and say, let's talk about this?
If you know what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's my right. I'm supposed to do that. Anybody that's in an argument or something, and if you can say or do something to stop it, I think as a Christian, you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you also know, Oliver, he's big on this because I'm sharper than I can sharp my tongue. But it's how you present it to people,
mm-hmm.
and it's your tone of voice. So you can come to somebody and say, we need to talk about this, and this is what the issue is, other than biting your head off or snapping, you know, being real quick. And so, and I mean, I'm guilty of that. He knows that I am guilty. And I'm not the only person that's guilty of being that way. But what he said, the presentation is important. And so when you see this fat lady, she just,
screaming at him.
No, she said, I just need to talk to you. We need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, and he listened because of the way she presented herself, I guess.
If I said this, if is a little knowledge a dangerous thing?
Just like the police investigate, they gotta make sure they have the right evidence to try to trial and stuff.
Because I mean, other people write, and this person writes, you know, we have an obligation to help each other and to offer the peace of Christ. Not so much my peace, but come in the peace of Christ. Just like the woman that approached Joab. She didn't come out hollering and screaming. She just came out, I want to talk to you. Do we sometimes hesitate to get involved because we're all wrapped up in ourselves? Poor, pitiful me. I don't have time to deal with my friend over here, even though I really should go and talk to him and ask him what's going on. I just got too much on my plate to do that. What if God did that to us? What if we petitioned Him and the answer came back? I'm sorry, I'm on page 5, you're on page 99, you'll have to wait. We'd get disgruntled. So, when we keep silent and not take action, is that right or wrong? Depending on the situation. Because some, you know, everybody has things in their lives. And, you know, maybe there are some things you don't want to share with others. But how many times have you, quote, confided in a friend and they've experienced the same thing you're going through? And they can sit down with you and, you know, give you some advice, whether you take it or not, is your choice. But that kind of comes to, and I didn't do this at the beginning, but if anybody wants to say, what are some talents you have?
My talent.
Helping others.
That's kind of, you hate to teach wrong.
Yeah.
You hate to say, well, I know.
Well, I was supposed to hand out paper and let you write it down, and then we swap them and open them up and read them, but.
I think in this church, one of the, it's not a talent, but a strength that this church has is praying. It's a praying church. And people know that if you ask for somebody, to pray for you, and you don't, and that's another thing here. You don't have to tell somebody why you wanted to pray. I don't have to say, pray for me because I'm miserable in my job or I'm miserable in my marriage. The people here, all you have to do is have an unspoken prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for me today. And so I'm not, that's really, I don't know if that would be a talent, but it, to me that would be a strength, especially in this church.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord gave us different talents. Some of them are prayer warriors and preachers and singers. Teachers. I said, I couldn't get up in the full cow and teach like Oliver does.
You could.
I always had stage fright.
But could we say each of us have different talents?
Sure.
And can all of our talents being put together go for a good resolve, let's say, in situation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody comes together. And it's kept us here. It's kept us where we're at today.
we all had the same power, we would never get anywhere. No. We would be doing repetitious. We would be doing, we'd all be doing the same task over and over instead of like, and it's been branching out and then meshing it all together.
It'd be just like a wheel spinning.
Because Caiaphas, this goes into John 11, chapter 11, verse 50. And this was his offering to the Jewish authorities prior to the arrest of Jesus. He says, "It is to your advantage that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish."
They and the rest of it stood for the time.
Right.
You know, there was other trials through that history and that.
Because, I mean, I've never really thought of it, that what if during Jesus' trials and tribulations and at the time when he was to be put to death, what if God changed his mind and said, "No, I'm keeping you, but I'm destroying everybody else"? Where would history be now? Would it have stopped? So, you know, in a situation, sometimes it might seem to be the wrong thing, but it's better that one man be punished or one person be punished than for the entire group to suffer. And that's kind of what we see in the lesson today.
We've always heard what one had happened.
He kind of brought it on himself, Sheba did, because he went and took over and divided it and took over.
Yeah, you could say Sheba was maybe a hothead, you know, one of those that just, let's go, boys, you know.
You want to be margin in charge. And we think of the scriptures in the Old Testament, there are a lot of people that wanted to be margin in charge. You know, I mean, they wanted to boss everybody around. Their ideas were better.
Yes, ma'am.
Good lesson. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
We had some good lessons for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Y'all feed off each other.
Yeah, pretty good.
Anybody else have anything to say? If not, let's then have our benediction.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.